are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Moretz with the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports and Network. Countdown to kickoff is on, and we're breaking it down gridiron style. Teddy Covers steps up and in straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Teddy Covers up, breaks it down. We got the Packers and the Bears. We got the Cyclones and the Longhorns on the board this evening. Joe Lisi's going to join us. We're going to focus in on all the big college football games of the week, including tonight's college football game. Friday night, we got a monster game. So that's a good thing with Merrill. You know, Merrill gets put in a tough spot breaking down horrible Friday night West Coast college football games normally. Me and Steve have spent a lot of time over the years on Fridays talking about, you know, Utah State and Fresno State matchups. But we're going to have the Washington State Cougars and the USC Trojans throw down on Friday. In fact, there's four games on a Friday night football. I look forward to breaking it down. Joe Lisi is going to step up. We're going to take a look at all the big games. Paul Bovey joins us, also from Las Vegas, Nevada. As Paul's normally based out of Los Angeles, but he's hunkered down in Vegas now that football has started, at least for the next couple of weeks, I believe. He'll join us. Paul's a big prop guy like I am. We'll see what kind of props he has. I know Paul's got a couple of college football games circled. We'll get his take on the college football card. And Paul's got a couple of obscure matchups where money can be made. We'll break down the Packers game with Paul as well. Major League Baseball playoffs are around the corner. Can't wait. We'll start breaking that down. We'll get some baseball guys on the show and start talking more baseball as the playoffs arrive. NHL hockey is around the corner. And I'll tell you what, you know, we all know, you know, it depends on what city you're in. You know, hockey in Canada is king, and hockey is big in certain U.S. markets. You know, the Rangers are big. New York covers hockey. Boston, Philadelphia, Detroit, Chicago, Minnesota, you know, but, you know, the list is starting to get bigger, actually. We add Las Vegas, and we'll talk a little bit about this with Ted Safransky, actually. Very interesting. I saw they said that, you know, Las Vegas played their preseason home opener the other night, first home game in Las Vegas, and it got quite a bit of action, actually, at the sports books, which is a pretty good indication of things to come. Which leads me to believe there's going to be a lot of sports books going to make a lot of money off of guys in Vegas who know nothing about betting on hockey. They're going to get into this stuff. They're going to start, I don't know, the Kings should win at minus 210, right? I don't know, maybe. Yeah, hockey starts next week. We're not going to go crazy with the hockey coverage, but we'll give you picks on a nightly basis. All right, let's get down to business right now. I've said this time and time and time and time again in the past that the San Diego Chargers / LA Chargers should always be referenced with the same reverence as the Buffalo Bills, the Detroit Lions, and the Cleveland Browns. Now, the Bills, the Lions, and the Browns have always been the butt of jokes, and that's just pretty much that way my whole life, really. When I was a kid, the Lions sucked. The Browns actually weren't bad when I was a kid growing up watching football. They weren't terrible. You know, the Brian Sipe era and stuff. And then don't forget about the Bernie Kosar era. But what was the common theme? They always fell short. And oftentimes it was in like really heartbreaking, painful ways. The fumble on the 1 yard line. Cleveland Browns were, yeah, they were going to the Super Bowl. They're going to the Super Bowl. Cleveland Browns fumble on the goal line, you know, on a 1 yard line. Ernest Biner. We have the drive. You know, John Elway goes like 95 yards in a minute or something like that in Cleveland. I remember when I was a kid, Brian Sipe threw an interception against the Raiders, the mistake by the lake pass. You know, so there's a long history. The Detroit Lions have sucked so hard, they can't even get to a Super Bowl. And the Buffalo Bills, well, we know all about the Buffalo Bills. And I don't know, how many jokes have there been about the Buffalo Bills over the years? About 33,000 or so, if not more. But the Chargers kind of get a free pass for a franchise that's as incompetent as they are. And I don't even know really where to start on this. But let's pardon the pun. Ever since they bolted San Diego, like really, have they done anything right? Let's start off at the top here. So they go to Los Angeles, and the first thing that they do is rip off the LA Dodger logo like no one's going to notice. You can't make this stuff up. All right, so they tried to rip off the Dodger logo. Not to mention, you know, they went to a city in which the mayor actually stated, you know, we really didn't need them. We really didn't ask them to come, but the NFL kind of put them here. And, you know, we'll support them as long as they're here. But, you know, the Rams are kind of our team. Even the freaking mayor won't even fake it and stating, I guess, whatever. If you guys want to play here in front of nobody, you can go ahead. You can go ahead and do it. We have a quarterback that refuses to move to the city that they now play in. Why? Because he thinks L.A. is a cesspool of contamination and degradation, and he doesn't want to expose his family to a bunch of low-life, dirtball, pinko commies that live in Los Angeles, evidently. That's going to help sell tickets. Hi, I'm Philip Rivers. Come on down and watch the L.A. Chargers play football. Now, me personally, I wouldn't live in L.A. because there's too many homosexuals, and there's just too many people that live a different type of lifestyle than I do, and I don't want to expose my kids to anything different. But I encourage you to come down and watch us play. That's basically the gist of it, of what he's getting at. So, if a quarterback, you know, Philip Rivers walks around L.A. like, oh, God, don't touch me, don't touch me. I think he's going to rob me. Rivers, yeah, it's a great sales pitch. Facing a franchise, thinks the city is a cesspool of contamination. All right, you know what's a cesspool of contamination? Your football team. You know what's a cesspool of contamination? Your ownership group. Now, we can go on and on and on, but I don't have like 14 hours to break down the Chargers' ineptness. But we all know about their attendance issues right now. All right, nobody's going. They can't give tickets away. They're playing in a 27,000-seat stadium. They're getting like 15,000 people a game, and the 15,000 people a game that they're getting are all fans of the visiting team. All right, this isn't going to work. So what did they do a couple of weeks ago? You know, hey, nobody likes us in this city, so how about we'll give free tickets away if somebody gets a freaking Charger logo tattooed on their body? Yeah, because nobody likes you, so they're running to the tattoo parlors to get a tattoo to get tickets that are going for $6 on StubHub. Like, real good. How does Spanos get rich, anyways? I should have looked this up. Where did Spanos make his money? Like, because really, I'm starting to wonder about this man's intelligence level, which leads us to last Sunday, as they lose again to a division rival in the Kansas City Chiefs. They decided to harass the one dude, their super fan, Boltman. The one guy that didn't turn his back on you when you screwed over the city of San Diego, follows you to Los Angeles, and you're telling him that he can't come into the stadium as Boltman. Oh, this is great. You know, what's the deal with you guys? Anyways, you know, you guys have like the same people that work PR for the airline industry working for you. You know, look at Boltman. He's a good guy. He's the type of guy that you let babysit your kids. If I'm going on vacation, I'm letting Boltman take care of my dog. Yeah, you know, he's a superhero. Look at all the cops. I look what Boltman said. He goes, if it wasn't for all the cameras around, I would have been like Rodney King. They would have beat me up. So the Chargers are saying, no, it's a misunderstanding. We let him in. Yeah, you let him in. He got kicked out after. Now he doesn't want to go back to your games. Like, really, way to alienate the one super fan that you have left. And the thing is, if you're unaware, Boltman is like a legend with Charger fans. The guy's been a diehard Charger fan for years. He's been at every freaking game. He's Boltman. Well, you know what? I thought this was going to be a disaster. It's even worse than I freaking thought it was going to be. You know what's amazing to me is the insanity of this. The other day they kicked a Yankee fan out for yelling what pitch he thought he was going to come next. And you know what's really crazy? The NFL... all they do is use pictures of guys like this, the super fans. This is what they sell. I've told you guys before, you take away fantasy football, you take away gambling on football, all you have left is the Boltmans of the world. You know, people talk about the NFL having a lot of problems. I think the biggest problem might be the Spanos family. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. And how about my boy Warman in Master Control? We got to get it so we can hear his voice. He's giving us great information. So it turns out that the Spanos family made their money selling sandwiches to migrant workers in the early 50s. And then flipped that money into apartment buildings. So I don't know, you could call it entrepreneur. You can look at this two ways. You could say, you know what, they sold sandwiches to illegal immigrants, basically. So that's blood money that you have there, Spanos. And, you own apartment buildings, but I'm assuming you're a slumlord. Is Spanos a great landlord? I'm probably saying no. It's like Donald Sterling, the guy that owns the Clippers. That's how he had his money, too. He was like a slumlord. A lot of slumlords in sports. All right. Let's bring in Teddy right now. Teddy's not a slumlord, but it was a great tweet that I saw that Teddy retweeted from Todd Furman. And there's a tweet was, sports betting's the cleanest thing about college basketball.
Sure is, yeah. Like, if you're reading what's been going on, it is the cleanest thing about college hoops right now. If you've certainly been reading what's been, but this is a surprise to no one, Gabe.
Absolutely. No, I know. But Teddy, you know what's funny though, Teddy? I remember at the IFBC, Mark Lawrence did a thing, and I never heard anyone say this. Say, I'm proud to be a handicapper, and I'm proud of what I do, and I don't like the scumbags in the business, etc. But as a whole, the gaming industry, the sports betting industry, handicappers, etc., talk show hosts such as myself, we don't have the best reputation with the mainstream guys. You know, the mainstream in the suits and, oh, Marenzi, he talks about betting all the time on his show. Talks about betting all the time. And, I maintain, we're the purest guys in this damn industry. The mainstream media, your fake news, your scumbags, you know nothing about sports. Owners, athletes, everyone, they're all scumbags. We're the nicest guys in the business.
And we have no agenda. I mean, there's nothing that we're trying to push. You know, it doesn't matter. You're pro-Trump, you're pro-Clinton. It doesn't matter. What are we trying to do? We're trying to pick point spread winners. We're trying to find value areas where the markets are devalued.
T-Bone had a great line because, you know, T-Bone's on the Trump side of things, but obviously Twitter's pretty hostile recently. But T-Bone brought up a great point. He said, I'm so sick of this crap. He said, Morency, has anybody asked you who you voted for when you're watching a game in a sports book? And it's true. No. Right? Because the news portrays like everyone's at each other's throats and, oh, it's right, left, black, white, and stuff. I don't know. I was just in Vegas a couple of weeks ago. I didn't hear the name Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump once. You know, I heard son of a bitch. I didn't cover. I got backdoored. The game went over. I didn't hear anything about politics.
Sure. And, I do a show every day just like you, Gabe, Sports Bit. And the one thing we vowed on, we're not going to talk politics except when there's betting. You know, and when there's betting angles, there's great props out there. If you want to bet Trump you can go around and look at some of the propositions that are available.
But I saw actually a book in Australia got in trouble because they had props on gay marriage. People got upset about that. They got props. Trust me. Yeah, I guess the people never knew. They had props on how Saddam Hussein was going to get executed. I guess the do-gooders didn't hear about those props. They're up mainstream sports books, too.
You can find props on the Kardashian babies already, you know? I mean, this all gets lumped into sports betting.
But I'm amazed, actually, we don't have, will a team take a knee prop yet. But one thing that we can take...
We got some this week from Bookmaker.
Oh, are you kidding me? Really?
Yeah. I just saw them that they posted. They were talking about the Steelers and with the Steelers, there was a prop on what
the
Steelers
stand, do. Will they kneel or stuff like that?
Yeah. If you give me a second, I'll find it.
Gold, man. So while you find it, I was going to say, Teddy, where the protest did come into play from a betting perspective was look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Flat performance against Chicago on Sunday. Clearly distracted. Clearly, by what happened. Not everybody on the team wanted to do what they did. Those guys had a very heated meeting where things got very, very heated. Like I said, the word I'm looking for is, I guess, heated. Ben Roethlisberger says after, I didn't sleep at all on Saturday night. All I could think about was this anthem and the protest. And so in hindsight, it was a distraction. So we could use that protest from a betting standpoint.
Sure. Okay, here's the prop from bookmaker.eu. Will the Pittsburgh Steelers' entire team, including Alejandro Villanueva, stay off the field of play during the national anthem for week 4? Yes, +1,200. No, -500. And there's individual players, too. Julius Peppers, LeSean McCoy. What will the next sports champion team to forego a White House visit?
Ooh.
You know, WNBA, NBA, NFL, MLB.
MLB will go. MLB
number of times
will
go. Donald Trump will tweet hashtag stand for our anthem before 1 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday. This is great stuff. It's fun to analyze. It's interesting to consider. And it puts politics where it should be, which is as a bettable commodity.
Or in the entertainment standpoint, because politics is essentially wrestling. Yeah, let's be real. Let's be real. Okay, so it's like we're talking about the betting markets, so we'll get to some football picks. But Vegas Golden Knights played their first home game, preseason game. And it drives me crazy, Teddy. I know it's a little thing to get upset about, but I don't like the abbreviation of VGS. For the record, that's what they're going with. So, VGS should have been LAS. Like, I'm talking about the sports books. And, the abbreviation for, they're on the screen and stuff. It said VGS Knights. Yeah, that sucks. But anyways, got a little bit of action. So I want to ask you, so Will Hill tweeted out, we got the same amount of action on the Vegas hockey game as we did game two of the WNBA Finals. So is that a lot of money on the hockey game? Or is it, basically they take about $60 in WNBA money.
Yeah, that's what that tweet was. I saw the same tweet
so
as
you're
you.
Saying, so it's good or bad? That was bad then or good?
Like, yeah, the game two of the WNBA Finals is not taking a ton of wise guy money. You're talking about a ton of money from anyone. It's a second-tier sporting event in the midst of other activities going on. Preseason hockey. It's not like hockey gets huge handle in Las Vegas. It doesn't.
But it will
you up there
grow.
In Canada,
it
you guys grow. Bet hockey a ton.
It will grow, Teddy. They're going to have the Knights game on in the casino and stuff. People are going to bet it, dude. They're going to bet the home team.
Sure, they'll throw $10 or $20 or something, but in terms of handle, in terms of actually, driving handle, yeah. The Golden Knights, they are right there. I had tickets. Brian Leonard invited me to go to the game, but I couldn't go, man. There's too much going on. It's football. You don't go out
preseason,
and
Teddy. If you get invited to the real opener, go to that one.
Well, I felt like I should. I've only been to T-Mobile once since it opened for the, I think it was the Pac-12 semis.
You had a good summer, actually. I saw you had fun. You were tweeting pictures of ballparks and stuff. It's good to get out sometimes. And it's the thing with you and I, what we do, I don't get a chance to ever. So I'm almost going to make a point of it. I think I'm going to go to New York City and see the Bills and the Jets on November the 2nd. I'm just hoping the Bills, can still pretend that we're in it. Just hoping we're 4-4. Still at that point in time. But let's jump in tonight. We got the Bears and the Packers. Total keeps getting chipped away at, man. I remember it was 45.5 earlier in the week. I'm seeing even 44s out there right now. Packers own the Bears, 15-4 straight up, 14-5 against the spread in the Rodgers-McCarthy era. Won 6 of the last 7 games. Outright, Bears coming off an impressive home win against the distracted Pittsburgh Steelers. I like that. Aaron Rodgers, though, has been sacked a league high 13 times this year, Teddy.
That Pittsburgh Steelers. That's a good line.
Yeah, not bad, huh?
I give you kudos for that, and I will give you credit for it, but I'm absolutely going to steal
that.
I
didn't invent it. I stole it, too.
It's a great nickname. but this is a very difficult game for me. I have no action on it. I can understand the concept of why the money's coming in on the under. We know these Thursday night games. Neither offense has a real chance to prepare a full game plan. You have divisional matchups on Thursday night with a long and, well, not long history, but with a recent history trending strongly to the under. And we have a couple of teams with legitimate offensive question marks right now. Look, the Bears can run the football. We've seen that very clearly. Their offensive line play has been solid. And Chicago, against this new nitro defensive package that Dom Capers has put in with 6 DBs on the field regularly for Green Bay, in theory, that Bears running game should be able to shorten the game and keep Aaron Rodgers and the offense off the field. That bodes well for the under. Obviously, you got the picture of Pick Howard over here. He's a monster.
The argument
to
that, and Cohen's been, great spark. The argument to that would be, if the Green Bay Packers get up 14-0 or so, and it takes the Bears out of their running attack.
Exactly. This is why this game is impossible. I think Chicago should have success running the football against Green Bay, which slows the games down, which shortens the game. You don't want to bet overs when you think one team is going to be able to run the football. On the other hand, if the Bears fall down by 2 touchdowns like they did in their other previous road game, You know, they went down to Tampa. They were down early. And it's ball game over because Mike Glennon in that passing game isn't going to rally back. It's not there for Chicago. So this is the kind of game that stands out to me for live wagering much more than it does for pregame wagering. If you're seeing Chicago in the game and they're not having to, you know, if they're competitive, if it's not a situation where they're out of it early, they're live. They're live throughout. But especially given the Packers' offensive line injuries, you know. But if the Bears get down a couple of scores, you might want to, you know.
It's a tough game.
It's probably too late. But Green Bay would be the only way I would look then.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it was one of the ugly Thursday night games and Green Bay just scuffs through enough to get the straight up W and, you know, I don't know, it's 17-13 or, you know, 20-23-13 or something, an ugly style of game. Or it's closer, you know, 14-10 or something if it gets crazy. But no, it's not in the low scoring league anymore. And also, it also wouldn't surprise me if the Packers beat them 38-14, right? It's it's a tough one. Yeah.
It's a hard game. And again,
Rodgers is on another level right now. He just is.
Well, that's the beauty of what we do, Gabe. I mean, you're in action every single day. I'm in action every single day. There's a TV game going, all right, I don't have an opinion on it. Guess what? I'm not betting it.
Well, it's another TV game.
I can't. Oh, my God, I have to bet this.
There's another TV game tonight, too. And Iowa State and Texas. You got interest in that one?
Yeah, I do.
What's your interest?
3%, Gabe, 3%. You can get it real cheap. Look, it's a Texas team that I think has great bet-on potential somewhere down the line. Tom Herman, I'm confident, will have more success at Texas than his predecessor, Charlie Strong. Herman is the right guy for this job, and Texas is going to be fine long-term. Short-term, I'm not convinced this team's ready to go on the road and lay a price to Iowa State. They have cluster injuries on the offensive line, three projected starters out, cluster injuries at tight end, the starter and the backup out. That's a blocking problem in this contest. Herman hasn't decided on a QB yet. You know, he's got the Frosch and then Buchel, who has been up and down. So
they're all bad. His quarterbacks
they're not getting first string snaps in practice. When you have two guys splitting first string snaps, you don't get that rhythm. You know, so it's a really young Texas defense as well. You know, you look at that and again, they're going to be good, but half the defensive starters are underclassmen, you know, sophomores and freshmen. Those aren't the type of teams with cluster injuries on the offensive line and very young defenses that I'm excited about laying points with on the road. I'll just put it that way.
All right, Teddy, we'll bounce around back to the NFL. We've only got 3 minutes here. I'll ask you about a game that's been, you know, pretty much, we've talked a lot about this game this week. And you know, everyone sort of has the same opinion, which is starting to scare me. And obviously the betting market does as well. Cowboys played on Monday night. Point spread at Bet Online. They were the first ones out of the gate. 8.5, they set it at. That didn't last long. We're down to even sixes right now. Now, it sort of reminds me a little bit of Cincinnati last week. I was in a minority earlier in the week yelling to anyone who would listen that the Bengals plus 9 was a great play. Came all the way down to 6.5 before kickoff. It almost reminds me of a similar situation here, but Cowboys short week, Rams extended rest. Jared Goff, clearly a new quarterback under McVay. As Mark Lawrence pointed out, the Rams now have 8 starters. They're either first or second round draft picks. A lot of talent on this football team. Is it a trap? Is it almost too good to be true? Because I can't find one guy that likes the Cowboys in this game.
No, and I don't either. You know, I had the Rams. Last week, I got down. The difference, last week, I got down for myself, and I put out a client play on Cincy early at 8.5. This week, I got my own bet in. By the time I was trying to release to the clients, it was already down under a touchdown, and I couldn't get it out to them as quickly as I might have liked to. Hence, I don't have Rams as a service play this week. But you can certainly understand why the money's coming to L.A. Situationally, one team extra rest, the other team, they played on Monday night, short rest. You look at the Cowboys' cluster injuries in the secondary, and that's a big concern. Were they minus 3 starters by the end of the game against Arizona? It didn't matter when they were able to get to the to the quarterback with a 3-man rush, what they did throughout the game against Arizona. If that works against the Rams, then the Dallas is poised to dominate again. But don't be fooled either by what you saw from L.A. defensively against the 49ers. Again, that was a short week off an intense game where their defense was on the field for a ton of snaps, and the D was gassed by the fourth quarter. That's not likely to be the case in Dallas this weekend. So understand all the LA money. But of course, if you start chasing bad numbers in the NFL, if you miss the best of the number and you start chasing bad ones, it is a road to ruination. So it's just a lean towards LA. They're not in my pocket.
Yeah, you know, and Dallas isn't the most intimidating place to play either. It's sort of like the big house in Michigan. Oh, in Michigan, I think, you know, with Harbaugh, it's a little bit more enthusiastic. But just because there's a lot of people doesn't mean that it's intimidating. And I've never found Dallas to be a tough place for visiting teams to go and play.
Well, I mean, until last year, Jason Garrett's track record as a home favorite was second to none. He was the worst coach in football.
Yeah, it was really just Dak Prescott that saves that, really. You know, Dak saved their ass on Monday, too. You're right. And, you know, you're right. Romo and Garrett were money burners as home chalk. So last year they covered a lot, but the O-line's not as good as last year either, Teddy.
No, and it clearly isn't as good as last year. And we saw that on Monday night, you know, and I wanted to see it again. You know, it's one of these, is this offensive line really down from where it was? Yes, the Cowboys' offensive line needs to be downgraded. And I'm sure most people have done it already. And yet, you know, they hung the four TDs against Arizona last week. Oh, they put up 28. People think the Cowboys' offense is just fine. I've downgraded them a good notch or two from where they were last year at this time.
Teddy! Check out Teddy's daily videos with Paulie Howard, Sportsbook, SBRPicks.com. Check out his picks over at SportsMemo.com or Covers Experts. Always a pleasure, Teddy.
Marenzi. Always fun, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Teddy. All right. We'll take a quick break. What do we got next? We got Mr. Paul Bovey joining us from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We encourage you to head over to DailyRoto.com. Enter code FNTSY. Get 10% off a DFS kit for expert projections, analysis, and lineup optimizers. Take your DFS play to the next level with DailyRoto.com. I'm still upset about my DFS lineup last week. 132 points, guys, without my quarterback and wide receiver. God, I would have won thousands of dollars if not for Derek Carr and Crabtree. You both suck. I hate you. But go over to DailyRoto.com. The best experts in the business are the Roto experts. DailyRoto.com. These guys are on top of it. Florio and these guys, they did do a great job. And Leone. Leone's won big money with DFS in the past. So check it out, DailyRoto.com. All right, do we have Paul Bovey set up? Paul Bovey joins us, I believe, from Las Vegas, Nevada. What's going on, Paul?
Yes, I'm in Las Vegas, Gabe. Still hanging in there.
You're still alive and kicking. Still alive and kicking. So how'd you do this past weekend?
It was a good weekend, Gabe. If you recall, on your show, I gave out Michigan, Notre Dame as top plays, as well as Iowa. So I did very well in the colleges. Actually, 7-1 on VI. Pros, not as good, but still profitable. I think I went 5-3. I'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah, you're killing it so far. Check out Paul's picks over at VegasInsider.com. Paul, it seems to me you seem to be betting a little bit more college football than usual this year.
It has nothing to do with the protest. I want to let you know. I do like college. It has everything to do with time. So if I have time to devote to college football, I'm generally very successful at it, and I have some plays this weekend, and I'm going to win.
All right, so before we get into the National Football League, let's just quickly blast through a couple of college games you had your eye on. Notre Dame, big win last week against Michigan State. Now they're laying 3 touchdowns to Miami of Ohio. This Red Hawk team's been an ATS machine, actually. They've covered 8 of the last 10 football games. It's only the third time ever Notre Dame's playing a MAC team. I guess they thought they were too good for the MAC. But this isn't a great Miami team. What's your quick take on this one?
It's not a great Notre Dame team. Look, Gabe, I was a little fortunate to win that game last week. Every time Michigan had a chance to get back in the game, they just shot themselves in the foot. You remember that one play, he was going in, and they stripped the ball right at the goal line. It was a marginal call. It went in favor of the Irish, but the Irish don't have a particularly good offense. Wimbush is a serviceable quarterback at best. He doesn't pass for a lot of yardage. He's capable of running, yes, but the Irish lay in 21 points. They're more or less offensively challenged, and this Red Hawk team plays some stout defense, and I believe they'll treat this as a Super Bowl-type game, and they're going to go in there and give it their best and play good football and get in under the 23.5, which I got down to 21 now.
All right, Mark Lawrence, for the record, likes Miami of Ohio in this football game as well. You're taking a look at the Tulsa-Navy game too, aren't you?
I am, Gabe. I was very fortunate last week. I had New Mexico in the second half against Tulsa. The field goal kicker, they iced him, and New Mexico committed an illegal procedure, backing him up to what would be a 53-yard field goal conversion to win the game. But amazingly, they only scored 16 points despite running for 300-plus yards. And that's the Achilles heel of Tulsa. And unfortunately, that plays into Navy's strength, which is running the football. They amassed over 40 points the last 2 years against this team. And Navy has a big problem stopping the pass. They did so last week against Cincinnati. They did so in their earlier contest. They're going to have trouble with Chad President here. Even though he's not a great quarterback, he's going to be good enough to score some points against this Navy defense. The number has moved up to 72. I liked it earlier at the better number, but he'll still get this.
All right. I can't disagree. Navy can run the ball on anybody. Northwestern's getting 14. Northwestern's getting 14 against Wisconsin.
You're getting some line value here because Wisconsin has not had any signature wins thus far, and they kind of struggled with FAU winning only 31-14, beat BYU 40-6. But this Northwestern team doesn't have any signature wins either. They beat two very weak clubs, Bowling Green being one of them. And the other game, the only meaningful game in my book, was against Duke. Thorson went 11-29. The game was basically out of reach when Northwestern piled on some meaningless yardage, lost the football game 41-17, and were trailing at 1:41-10. I don't think they're a very good football team. Flashback to that first game against Nevada, and Nevada easily could have won that game if Ty Gangi didn't throw an interception at the goal line in the second half. I like Wisconsin to roll over this team and win by 24-27 points. Line sits now at 14.
Yeah, Wisconsin's not a glamorous team, so they don't get that public hype. People don't talk or write about them very often, but they do punch you in the mouth. And, yeah, you look at Northwestern, also got beat up by Duke as well. This isn't a great Northwestern football team. All right, let's take a look at some NFL football, starting with tonight's game, the Bears and the Packers. Yeah, people aren't in love with this game. People are always conflicted with the Thursday night games. Short week, Green Bay, a lot of injuries. Although, it's a pretty short price, to be honest. You know, the Bears have looked good at home. They've only played one road game. They were terrible on the road. They got tattooed. The Bears can run the football, but it's not going to mean anything if Aaron Rodgers is throwing all over them and they're trailing 21-3 midway through the second quarter of play. I get the argument for the Bears. I think the Packers beat them. I think the Packers can cover this number. I don't think they blow them out, but ultimately I don't trust Mike Glennon on the road here. But I'm taking a look at a couple of props as well that I'll throw at you, and I wonder if you got any props. But what's your take on this game?
Well, I don't trust Mike Glennon on the road at home. He had 101 yards passing last week, and the one impressive statistical game he put up, look, against Tampa Bay, the game was out of reach. He got a lot of garbage yards on the last three drives. They totaled 175 yards on the last three drives. The game was way out of reach against Tampa Bay by virtue of early turnovers. This Chicago team does not have much in the way of offense. They proved that also against the Falcons in week one when Tarik Cohen was the main receiver. and also running back, obviously. They don't have deep threats. But my worry here is, and I posted the under, is that Chicago does not defend the deep ball very well. But what's going for the under here is that Green Bay, and as you mentioned, Gabe, they have injuries, notably to the offensive line, Bakhtiari and Beluga. This is going to hurt them. Aaron Rodgers will be under siege here. They will muster up some points. Cobb is in. He was out last week. Jordy Nelson is in. And they have a formidable receiving corps. But I'm looking for a game like 26-16 here. Game should fall under the number. It's a tough lay here. It's 7, 7.5. So that's the direction I'm going.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be teasing this game. And, you know, even our camera guy said, what about a Packers teaser to the under? Because you get under 51. I'm kind of thinking, you know, 44 right now, over 37. I think we can get to 37 points. You mentioned the pressure, and that's something that catches my eye here. You know, Aaron Rodgers has been sacked 13 times this year. 13 freaking times he's been sacked. Only Houston's been sacked more because they gave up 10 in one game. But Rod, they've had a hard time protecting Rodgers so far. Bears have gotten to opposing quarterback 7 times. Packers have gotten to the quarterback 9 times through 3 games. Normally, Paul, the sack prop is 4.5 or so. 5.5 in this football game tonight.
Well, I had 4.5 the other night. Now, I have to tell you, they had 4 early in the third quarter, and I had to wait a long time to get that sack.
I know.
And then the floodgates opened because then they sacked them 3 times after that. Of course, that's all.
I would say with you, I was on the 4, and I was like, oh, we got this, man. We got this. And then I was like, you know, about 30 minutes has passed without a sack here. I sort of checked back in, and Dave Malinzi goes, no, no, you got it, Gabe, you got it. And I was like, well, let's get it then. And like you said, once we got one, I think there was like 2 more right after. It was like ding, 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 ding. But the fact is, it's a pass-happy league right now, and there's a lot of sacks, and offensive lines aren't very good, even though the Bears are going to want to run the football. I can't bet under 5.5 sacks here. Yeah, I still like the over, even though it's 5.5.
Yeah, I like the over, too. Look, it's a minimal adjustment relative to the depletion in the Packers' offensive line. And as you say, 13 sacks on Aaron Rodgers this year. And look, Mike Glennon is Mike Glennon. He's going to take a few sacks along the way.
Yeah.
Or he's going to throw a couple interceptions one way or the other. It'll probably be more of the former here. And I have to like the over at 5.5.
All right, we got to get out of here, unfortunately. You know, I had a couple other prop talks. Zach Miller, 3.5 catches. He's caught 4 in 2 of 3 games, 4 or more. Jordy Nelson, 5.5. He got hurt right away in that game against Atlanta, but in the 2 games he's played, he's had 6 or more catches. I don't want any part of Devontae Adams tonight, but I do like the Zach Miller over 3.5 receptions.
Well, I would take a pass on that, but I think you will probably win that on the Green Bay side. I would be very hesitant in taking a receiver prop just because he's got so many options to throw to, and you know how those things worked out. Last year in one of the games, Jordy Nelson only had 1 catch because he went to Devonta Adams. So these things with receiver props, you kind of have to hold your breath, and I'm not willing to do that.
Paul Bovey doesn't want to hold his breath. He wants to stay alive. Smart man. Always a pleasure, Paul.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Paul Bovey with us. Check him out at VegasInsider.com. He's been scorching throughout the season. Every week, he's just producing winners. Joe Lisi joins me next. We talk college football.
Quarterback to receiver hookups. Running back depth analysis. Rookie values in dynasty leagues. Deep sleepers. Training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game time decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. The show's just flown by. We've talked a lot of football on the show. Mostly NFL, little college sprinkled in. We're going to focus in on the college game right now with the co-host of College Football Today. You watch and hear it right here on the Fantasy Sports Television and Radio Networks. Also available on the Dish Network, Channel 266. Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock, a three-hour extravaganza. Former players, coaches, expert predictions. And I've been killing it, man. Killing it with our best bets on the program. Let's bring in Joe Lisi. What's up, Joe?
How are you, Gabe? Another great weekend of college football ahead of us.
Yeah, the importance of these games get bigger and bigger as the season progresses. And, you know, tonight's game, no national championship implications, but it's nevertheless a big game for the Big 12, and it's going to be an entertaining football game tonight. Longhorns were like six-and-a-half-point favorites earlier in the week, but all the betting guys, like Teddy Covers, Mark Lawrence, you know, all the Vegas guys, everybody likes Iowa State in this game, so the numbers come down to 4.5.
Yeah, I'm with them. I like Iowa State here. I mean, from the series perspective, Texas has won 4 of the last 5 since 2012 by 12.7 points per game. But for me, it does come down to the front 7 of Iowa State holding opposing offenses to 107 rushing yards on the ground. And I think they have the best quarterback on the field in Jacob Park, completing 66% of his passes, 8 touchdowns. I like Iowa State at home to get a very close victory over the Longhorns later tonight.
You know, they played 2 years ago on a Thursday night. Texas won 31-30. So it was a close football game. I remember that game. And who could forget, Joe, going back to 2011, Brandon Weeden. And remember they were ranked number 2 in the country. They got knocked off by the Cyclones. And I think it might have been a Friday. It was a Thursday or a Friday night game, too. There's a history. There's a history of big upsets in Ames during these weeknight games, actually. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. Herman's a great coach. Specifically, he's an underdog, but laying the price is always dangerous. Both teams can score. Horns put up 40 points a game. Cyclones put up 41.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it'll be high scoring as well. I mean, Iowa State's loaded at the skilled positions. They have a solid running back in Montgomery, big play wide receiver in Allen Lazard. The only thing that scares me from the Texas perspective is the inexperience. If it is Ellinger at the quarterback position, another road game, I think that's the difference. Iowa State at home, they lost 4 games last year by a total of 25 points. To me, that's the difference. They get a 4-point victory over the Longhorns later tonight.
Ooh, Iowa State on the money line, says Joe Lisi. All right, monster game with national championship implications. Friday night in Pullman. It's an opportunity for Luke Falk to win a big football game, Leach to win a big game. I've been critical of Wazoo over the years. Not critical. I'm not a hater or anything. But I just don't think Falk has played well in big games. And I don't trust Leach in big games. They're a good team. Their defense is playing well. Can they win a big game like this? I was leaning USC, but all these injuries for the Trojans are starting to freak me out a little bit. Ronald Jones is going to play, but he's really banged up. I don't know about Deontay Burnett, if he's going to play. He better be able to play because, you know, Mitchell is out as well. They got a lot of freaking injuries on offense, and Darnold's not Superman.
Yeah, I like Washington State here. I picked them at the start of the year to win their half of the division, and this was one game at the start of the year that I had Washington State knocking off USC. I'm not backing down now. The only thing that I would say about Washington State, they need to run the football in order to win this game. Last year, they were up in the area of about 120 rushing yards per game, entering this game right around 71. That being said, I think it'll be a rabid atmosphere in Pullman tomorrow night, and I think Washington State gets the 7-point victory over USC.
Yeah, you know, I got a buddy of mine, a regular viewer. He thinks I'm a Trojan hater, and I'm not, because I just seen a pick against them a lot. I was on Cal last week plus the points, but hard to lay the points right now with the injuries. And plus, Clay Helton. We can talk about Leach and Falk, but Clay Helton's got to win a big game like this. And I tell you, if USC don't win, they're going to get bounced from the national championship picture. There's always, you know, there's not a lot of room for error for teams coming from the Pac-12.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this is a big game for USC. If they have any chance to make it to the college football playoff, They need to win this ball game. It could actually carry them momentum-wise through the rest of the Pac-12. But for Washington State, if they win this ball game as well, expect them to be a front runner for the conference and a possible dark horse for the college football playoff.
Yeah, you know, but I don't know if they're. I think that maybe the Huskies come in because I still think the Huskies are better than Wazoo. But we always talk about this too. Darnold was the big favorite for the Heisman. Favorites never seem to win the Heisman. Now, you know, the Heisman front runner suddenly Barkley out of Penn State. So, you know, Darnold's got to pick it up. It's 7 interceptions already. Only threw 9 interceptions the entire year last year. Vandy, speaking of nine kids charged with felony fraud, credit card fraud, impersonating identities, falsifying identities, etc. Kind of flew under the radar because of all the corruption in college basketball this week. Number was 10 all week, down to 9.5. I think Vandy take this game down to the wire. Wouldn't surprise me if Florida win another close game.
Yeah, I'm against everybody here. Florida's won 4 of the last 5 by 11.7 points per game. Over the last 2 games, has been decided by a total of 9 points. That being said, I really like the way Florida played last week from an offensive perspective, rushing for 186 yards on the ground and their first 2 rushing touchdowns over the last 9 games dating back to 2016. I look at Vanderbilt, Gabe, as a worn-out football team. They gave up 201 rushing yards against Kansas State 2 weeks ago, gave up 496 last week to Alabama in that blowout home loss. Now I have to go on the road to the Swamp. Not an easy place to play. Luke Del Rio, I think, gives the Gators the best opportunity to win. And let's keep in mind, last year when they won that ball game 13-6, it was Austin Appleby. It wasn't Luke Del Rio, who was 5-1 as a starting quarterback last year. I think Florida wins this game. I give their secondary the advantage. They win this ball game by 17 points or more.
All right, we've only got a minute left. I want to get to Oklahoma State and Texas Tech. That's what Oklahoma State do. You and I were high on them, but I don't want to call them heartless. They did have injuries, but they don't have the mental fortitude to run the table, these guys. They have the physical ability. They don't have the mental ability to do it. Unlike the Clemson Tigers, who are mentally tough as they come. Clemson now up to 8. Looks like the betting market likes the Tigers this week going into Va Tech. It's funny. I've been riding Clemson all year long, but I actually think this is a tough spot for them.
Yeah, it could be, but I like their passing secondary, giving up 138 yards on the ground. Might be a close ball game in the first half, but in the end, I do think Clemson covers the number. I like Oklahoma State here. Texas Tech is 9-18 over the last 3 years in the Big 12, and Oak State has won the last 5 games by 16.8 points per game. I think Oak State covers the number.
Joe Lisi, I'll be joining Joe Saturday morning at 10:39 and 11:39 Eastern. But Joe and Rich will be on live at 9 o'clock. Check it out. It's a great show. Thanks for the time, Joe.
Anytime, Gabe. Love talking college football with you.
All right, there's Joe Lisi with us. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with our plays of the day.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. And as always, we don't have a lot of time to get to them. But we're going to start off with the Green Bay Packers. I'm going to lay the 7 points in this football game. I know a lot of people are going to make an argument for the Bears. And the Packers have all these injuries and all this stuff. You know, we overcomplicate things in this business. It's Mike Glennon versus Aaron Rodgers. And, oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers 14-5 against the spread against the Chicago Bears. I'm going to tease this game to the over. I think the number is a little low now at 44. But I'm not ready to pull the trigger. This game could be a low-scoring, ugly Thursday nighter, or it could be sort of a 38-14 blowout for the Packers. I'm tending to believe it's going to be more of a 38-14 blowout. So let's tease the pack to the under. To the over. Jordy Nelson, over 5.5. Will he have to throw that many times at Jordy? I don't know, but Jordy Nelson's played 2 full games. He was hurt in that game against Falcons. He's had 6 or more catches in both. I got to go with Zach Miller here. 3.5. He's had 4 catches or more, 2 out of 3 games. They will be playing from behind. I got to be taking a look at the sacks. Aaron Rodgers has been sacked second most times in the NFL. 13 times he's gone down. It's 5.5. But we're going to go over the number. And I got to go long field goal. Incredibly low, man, at 41.5. I don't know why it's so low. Give me the over. College football, I think Iowa State can win this football game. And I think it's going to go over the number. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.